Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 13th of January. Now, the water crisis across some parts of Kent has extended into today, and we will bring you the very latest on that shortly. We'll also take a look at plans to sell off one of Kent's oldest libraries with a decision on that expected today. And in an age where most people do their shopping online, bosses in Maidstone have launched a new initiative to draw people back to the high street. All of that is still to come, but first, let's take a look at our top story for today. The mum of a teenager who died from experimental drug misuse has described new figures showing a rise in under-18s in Kent being treated for addiction problems as heartbreaking. 395 young people in the county received help in the past year, 80 more than during the previous 12 months. More than 800 pupils have also been excluded from school due to drugs or alcohol. Kim Webster from Herne Bay lost her 17-year-old son Will to experimental drug use in 2018. She now works with Kenwood Trust to tell his story at schools across the county.
It's really shocking that it's increased so much in Kent. It's scary, really, especially in the last 7 years with my campaign since losing Will. I think, am I just banging my head against a brick wall? Because it just doesn't see, you know, with the increase, I don't know. I really don't.
The work that you're doing is fantastic. So there must be a huge number of teenagers who are taking that on board and think, you know, I'm not going to take that risk.
Totally, yes. No, I do agree. I mean, we have children message us to say, thank you. You've changed my life. I'm never going to ever carry on doing what I'm doing or even dabble with drugs. I feel I hit my head against a brick wall because of the increase in the amount of children that do use it. But if anything, that just confirms to me that our school edu programme is still required, if not more essential nowadays, just to educate young people about the dangers, the risks, and is it really worth it? When they're given that moment, yeah, a festival or a party or even in the park, you know, it's all about just thinking differently.
Taking another look at these pictures, it shows about school suspensions because of drug and alcohol. And five of the suspensions were primary school aged pupils, as you say, under the age of 12. I mean, what do you make to that?
Oh, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? I mean, what 12-year-old really wants to be out with drugs and alcohol? The education is just needed. I mean, teachers can do what they can do, but it definitely needs more investment in our education on drugs and alcohol because it's so easily available. All our children, even at primary school, have phones, and drugs are being sold on the social media platforms daily, and a child can just click on the phone, whether they do it on purpose or not, and a drug dealer, ping up and it will say two pills for a tenner or something, or just something to entice them into looking or what's going on out there. And it's so easy, and it's so sad that these children can't just have their phones and not being tempted by this.
Obviously, Kim, your life has changed inexplicably since you lost your son. Did you think you were aware as a parent before what happened to Will, or has this also been a huge education to you as well?
It's definitely been a huge education. I've never been a mum to stick my head in the sand. I'm always a mum, as the boys used to say to me, that I was controlling or nosy, but I was interested and invested in their lives. So whatever was going on, I wanted to know about it. So this, what happened to Will, was beyond, I can't even express the words, but knowing that I was a parent that had such a good relationship with my children, that this to happen to me when I know what's all out there and we have discussions about it and I'm an open parent, that it's even more devastating.
And how much has it meant to you to go into schools and to talk about Will, to keep his name very much alive?
That is one of the main reasons why I do it. It's going to be 8 years this July, which is shocking, but so I managed to get, so I talk about Will, which I don't have the opportunity to do generally, you know, in normal conversations. We all talk about our children, and until you've lost a child, you do not realize how much people do talk about their own children. So it is my opportunity to talk about him, and he was so handsome with a lovely smile. So it's lovely to have his picture out there, even if because of what's happened to him. I mean, one head teacher said to me, Kim, Will was joining the army. He was out to save lives. You are saving lives in his memory.
Kent Online News.
A critical incident has been declared at a Kent hospital because of exceptionally high demand. Visitors will no longer be allowed on certain wards at the QEQM in Margate. East Kent Hospitals Trust says beds are currently full following a rise in patients with winter illnesses. The body of a 55-year-old woman has been found following a search of the River Stour in Canterbury. Specialist crews were called to Pound Lane on Saturday evening after a woman was seen entering the water. The death is not being treated as suspicious. Now, let's get you caught up with what's been happening with the latest water crisis in Kent. Thousands of people are still without water as major disruption continues. Residents in Tunbridge Wells were told supplies would be back to normal today, but that hasn't happened so far. Customers in Maidstone, Canterbury and Headcorn have also been experiencing problems. Now, several Kent MPs have criticised the way South East Water has responded to the disruption. Helen Waitley represents Faversham and Mid-Kent.
There are around 5,000 homes in my constituency this weekend which were without water. That on its own is bad enough. But then we have how South East Water responded, failing to deliver water to vulnerable people, sending elderly residents on a 2-hour round trip to get bottled water, sometimes only to find that there was no water left, and ignoring the pleas from livestock owners for water for horses and other animals. Madam Deputy Speaker, this is a disgrace. It is not for the first time. The Chief Executive of South East Water has shown us he is not up to the job.
That's an opinion shared by the Maidstone and Morling MP, Helen Grant.
I have no confidence whatsoever in South East Water, and I've worked with them now for nearly 15 years. When things go wrong, and they often do in Kent and Sussex, their communication methods are absolutely atrocious.
Exactly.
Too little, too late, and often very confusing, when often all someone wants is to know when they can put the kettle back on or get in the shower.
The company's communication has also been criticised by Katie Lamb, who represents the Weald of Kent.
Thousands of my constituents over the weekend in Headcorn, in Staplehurst, in Coxheath, in the villages surrounding have had no running water. It's vital in these situations that we're able to share accurate and timely information. Yep. But South East Water literally had no idea what was going on. There was supposed to be a bottled water station in Headcorn, and for the entirety of Saturday, nobody from South East Water could tell me if there was even any water there. We were given multiple conflicting pieces of information, most of which turn out to be inaccurate.
A familiar voice in all this is Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin. He's been very vocal in his calls for Chief Executive David Hinton to resign.
Plainly, the leadership of South East Water suffers from groupthink. Last week, the EFRA Select Committee showed them to be negligent. The chair accused the CEO of misleading Parliament, said his position was untenable. The Secretary of State of the Water Minister's own department has said she's shocked by Hinton's lack of accountability.
South East Water bosses have apologised to customers and say they are working to fix issues as quickly as possible. Now, as things were unravelling yesterday, we were able to speak to Mark Hood, who is a Green Party councillor in Tunbridge and also head of the Green Group at the County Council. He told Nicola there needs to be urgent action.
The biggest frustration is that we're living with a hosepipe ban, and only over the weekend we got yet another flood warning here in Tunbridge. So there's a huge amount of water out there that we don't seem to be able to harvest. But it's the unreliability and it's the knock-on effect. So if you haven't got any water, you can't open schools, you can't open daycare centres, nurseries. So that has a huge disruptive effect on people's education, on the ability of parents to actually get to work. So it's a fundamental requirement, and it just seems to be a real issue. I mean, in this current these current outages, some of the issues seem to be that they are failing to replenish the reservoirs, the smaller ones that we have, because most of our water comes from the aquifers underneath Kent. We don't actually have reservoirs that support us for the majority of the county, and that if we don't recharge the aquifers, then we're in real trouble. We need to understand that we're sleepwalking into a water crisis here. We're one of the most water scarce corners of England, and something has to happen. Somebody needs to realise that 13,000 new homes every year that Kent is being asked to deliver cannot be sustained on the current water supply. It isn't going
to
happen.
What does need to happen then? Do we need to put a pause on house building? Because there's always the argument that people need the properties to move into. What do we do? It's such a tricky problem to fix.
Yeah, it is tricky. Myself and one of my Liberal Democrat colleagues, we brought a motion to the Kent County Council regarding water quality and sustainability. And one of the things that we all agreed on, all corners of the council chamber agreed, that district councils should have a water cycle strategy that is an integral part of each local plan. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be being adopted. But we do need to make sure that all of these new developments, they have grey water recycling, that you have the minimum water demands, so that we can build in reducing the necessity to go to the water companies for this additional resource at the development stage. But there's other things like Wealden conditions on planning applications, so that before any work starts, the developer and the water companies have to demonstrate how that development is going to be connected to the local water supply, if the supply is adequate, and if the local water treatment works is able to treat that waste water, because that's the only way we're really going to get a grip on this problem. Because we know that the storm overflows, combined storm overflows that we currently have to deal with, seem to be beyond Southern Water's ability to harness that issue. So, you know, we can't continually build more before we've got a handle on what's happening currently.
You can keep up to date with all the very latest developments as they happen by clicking on the story at the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A Chatham man who threatened to petrol bomb a mosque and McDonald's has avoided being sent to prison. A court was told Michael Rayner started shouting at two police officers after they visited his home to warn him about his behaviour. The 41-year-old from Meadowbank Road has been placed on a 3-month curfew, meaning he has to be at home from 9 at night until 7 in the morning. A person's been treated by paramedics following a fire at a house in Folkestone. The blaze broke out in the lounge of a property on Joynton Road yesterday evening. It's thought to have been caused by logs that were left too close to a log burner. Two teenagers have been arrested on suspicion of stealing a motorbike in Sittingbourne. The vehicle was seen speeding and on the wrong side of the road in Swale Way earlier this month. Police used a drone to track down two 17-year-old boys. They've since been released on bail. A decision is expected to be made later to sell off one of Kent's oldest libraries. The Grace Hill site in Folkestone dates back to 1888 but is currently closed because of flood damage. The County Council have announced plans to get rid of the site after working with campaigners for 3 years on ideas to bring it back into use. John O'Connor is from Save Folkestone Library.
I think it's very clearly a decision which would go against the principle of economic and efficient use of resources. That's what local authorities legally have to demonstrate. To put it out for auction, as far as we can tell, there's no reserve price. Yeah? Best value for the community. Oh, what if we get? Fiver? A developer picks it up, leaves it for 20 years until it falls into disrepair, and at some point it becomes something different. That's not good value. Good value is, here we have an investment, the building, the asset, remains with the local authority, because we were talking a lease arrangement. So they get a makeover. It's like DIY SOS on a grand scale. Nah, don't think so. It's just extraordinary. I think what people will feel is they are not listened to, that they have opportunities which are being taken away from them, that they have a voice which is not listened to, not heard, it's not valued. And I think Folkestone will look at this building, if it is mothballed, if it is flogged off, you know, to the nearest sort of odd character in a pub, I think we'll be going past that building for years, not just on Tuesday, the next few weeks, 2026, will be going past this building as a symbol, and it will be seen by everybody as a reminder of they didn't listen, we've been let down. And what we need from community leaders, including politicians, you need positive leadership.
Can you describe the building for us, for people who might never have seen this Grace Hill site and what it looks like, just to kind of get a picture in their mind of you know, the history of it and why it's important to save it, why it's so special?
So this building is a big classic old, you know, sort of red brick, big, monstrous thing, quite big. It's three stories high. It's got the classic sort of, you know, triangular archways. It's got inscriptions on it. It'll tell you who and the great and the good were that opened the doors originally. Inside, there's a couple of little treasures. There's a specially commissioned poetic quote from Yoko Ono. Yeah. There's an amazing piece of artwork, which was gifted to the community, still sitting in there, gathering dust. Beautiful piece of glasswork. It's got large spaces, which are not that common in modern buildings. So you walk into the main library area, and it's got this feeling of space, calmness, big windows, light. If you go up to the top floor, it's had these lovely sort of research areas, quiet corners, but a big high-ceilinged area for art exhibitions. And people remember when they actually made their art available for the first time ever publicly in that space. It's got a sense of history. It's got a sense of real character. And I think it's got a sense of hard work. The physical effort to actually construct this thing over many years. It's chunky, solid, and it's got a lovely warm feeling to it.
Bosses say they're creating a new hub for the community at the Town Centre Library on Sandgate Road.
Kent Online News.
Roads bosses are looking into the potential of changing the layout of Operation Brock on the M20 so it doesn't cause as much disruption. At the moment, the contraflow is put in place between Ashford and Maidstone so lorries can be parked up if there are delays at the Port of Dover or Eurotunnel. National Highways are considering options that would keep Junction 8 open, reducing the number of vehicles forced onto the smaller A20. Airport has recorded losses of more than £1.5 million, according to new figures. Lead Airport on Romney Marsh is owned by a billionaire family from Saudi Arabia and mostly used for private planes and search and rescue helicopters. There had been hopes to start using it again for commercial flights, but so far those plans have failed. Money is on offer to independent businesses in Maidstone to improve their shop fronts. It's part of council plans to make the town centre more appealing and draw shoppers away from the online market. Up to £10,000 is on offer for retailers so they can upgrade signage and improve lighting. Nicola's been chatting to Maidstone Council leader Stuart Jeffrey.
Maidstone Town Centre has got this amazing historical aspect to it. When you look above the ground floor of the main shopping areas, Maidstone as a borough has got more listed buildings than even Canterbury. You know, it is an amazing place, but we're kind of seeing a lot of fairly run-of-the-mill changes to the fronts of shops over the years, and it does feel like it needs a bit of a spruce. So we're basically offering money to those individual shops to spruce up their fronts, to attract people in for their own businesses, to support the businesses, but also to make the feel of the town centre and the shopping areas that much more welcoming, I think, and to give it a bit of a different feel.
And we know how much our high streets have suffered since COVID. Our shopping habits have changed. Are you hoping this will give like a real injection to Maidstone Town Centre in particular to try and get people back?
Yeah, absolutely. The impact of COVID and generally internet shopping has really damaged town centres. We're putting a lot of effort into making some real changes, and this is one of a package of things we're doing over the next few years to really bring people back into the town centre. The town, the way people are using towns is changing, so we're recognising that. So we're also planning to pedestrianise our restaurant area, for example, so that we can have outside dining, because people are using the town centres differently. But this will give hopefully a bit of a heritage feel to some of the key roads in the town, and just make it that much more welcoming for people.
And I mean, this isn't small change we're talking about either, is it? Companies can, or businesses can, put in a bid for a substantial bit of cash. That would do quite a lot, I should think.
We're offering grants from between 5 and 10,000 pounds. We'll pay for 80% of the work. So we're expecting, probably 20, 25 businesses to come forward. So we should see a real impact from the money we're offering. We've got a pot of £150,000. We to really inject that new feel to the town centre.
Kent Online News.
Residents are backing plans to transform the look of a roundabout in Medway that's been dubbed an eyesore. The unpopular junction is on the A228 at Fen Corner on the Hoo Peninsula and was put in place when the road was upgraded following a number of accidents. It's thought work to plant it with trees will cost around £3,000. Medway Council say they will consider the idea. A Kent Christmas tree farmer has announced plans to turn part of his plantation into a natural burial ground. Rob Schroeder, who's based in Kingswood near Maidstone, supplies around 5,000 trees to families each festive season. The proposed site could accommodate up to 350 graves. It's due to be discussed by planning bosses on Thursday. And the boss of a new Herne Bay restaurant is promising a real fusion of Italian and English classics with a full English pizza set to be on the menu. Brecknock Bros on Mortimer Street is due to open in March, filling a space that's been empty for some time. Owner Daniel Smith says the menu will also be budget friendly.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham say their new fan zone could be open in time for the World Cup this summer. Work started to build a new area with space for 900 supporters at Priestfield Stadium. It'll include food and drink kiosks, benches and a play area, as well as screening international events. It'll also be used by Jules fans on match days from next season. And a Kent darts player has managed to get some sponsorship to play full time. Vicky Cotericchio from Sandwich will be supported by Shepherd Neame Brewery. She's currently 43rd in the UK and Ireland's women's rankings. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.